This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, let's see if we can get two Olympic plays in under the wire before we set up the show officially today. France, Argentina, two of the favorites to win gold men's soccer 2024 in Paris. They're going to meet in just a minute. You can still get this bet in the quarters. Thierry Henry, of course, France leads a team that has three clean sheets. They've been awesome, scored seven goals, just beat up on New Zealand on Tuesday, 3-0. So what'd they do? Rested their starters. That's the advantage against Argentina today. Now, these are two titans, bad blood between France and Argentina in men's soccer. Argentina dropped their opener 2-1 to Morocco. Morocco's a very good team, finished 2-1 in the group. France is relentless on the attack. Based on form and home field advantage here for the home country and France, I like them at a plus price. I got them plus 105. So France and men's soccer at the Olympics. That's the first play. The big guy. Let's go basketball. Germany, France.
Yeah, France back in action again. Both these teams locked into the knockout round after starting 2-0. The knockout bracket is a random draw. However, the winner of this one has a chance to be one of the highest two ranked teams, which means they can end up on the opposite end of the bracket as the U.S., assuming the Americans take care of Puerto Rico. France needed overtime against a bad Japan team a couple days ago. They beat Brazil by 22. Germany's coming off a win over Brazil, and they beat Japan by 20. The way I look at it, the way I watch things go and play out, Germany is the much deeper team to me. They are the much younger team. I like the vibes out of them. In a rehashed rivalry of the Axis and the Allies, unfortunately, I'm going to back the Germans at minus 3.5.
Yeah, you did it, big guy. I heard that. Germany, basketball. France, soccer. Olympics, you can bet it. Let's go. Sharp Money, as we welcome you in and we welcome you back. That's it. Pack up the Yetis, winterize the boat, put your little water wings away. Summer's done. Hall of Fame game yesterday. You could almost smell it in the air. There was like a little crisp in the air outside of Vegas. Apologies to all of you in Vegas where it's 106 degrees. But everywhere else across the country, kind of felt like fall was amongst us. That was a Thursday night game, of course, with the Texans and Bears last night. And from now until forever, you're not going to have a Thursday without football. It felt freaking awesome because essentially, not just here on VSiN and Sharp Money, we turned the page. We had some fun in the summer, but this is money-making season. This is when it really matters as we embark upon not just college football, but of course the NFL. Rules changes abound. You saw them with the kickoff rule last night in the Hall of Fame game. We're going to get to those coming up in just a bit. I want to officially say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, it's nice to see the big guy step back into the studio after an extended vacation. Look, when you're a big deal, you can take a long vacation. So there's Dustin Sweetelson, of course, downtown Las Vegas, at the D. Just a couple of things. First off, thank you to everybody that filled in on Sharp Money over the last 31 days. I appreciate it more than I can explain. Thank you to the bosses, but it's time to get to work. All right. We take a month off and then we grind for the next 8 months straight. We don't take time. It's football season. This is when it matters. And with the return of Sharp Money, the big guy, you've got the family plays returning. What are family plays? Those of you new to the network, and a lot has changed over the last 31 days on the network for the better. I assure you, for the better and for the better, if you understand what I'm saying. Now, family plays. Our objective on Sharp Money is to give you as many sharp plays as possible over 3 hours. So the family is back with plays across myriad sport. Sharp Money Survivor, your opportunity, sharpmoney@vsin.com, to win a bunch of cash, a little contest for the family here, and we're going to start up again on Monday. It's been a tough week here on the program. I can't wait for the weekend. Sharp Money Survivor back on Monday, big guy. Also, we've got the weight loss challenge with Dustin Sweetelson and Jonathan Von Tobel. We've got plenty to do as we bring our regular guests back. We've got Mike Randall. We've got the Plus Money Prince and Aaron Halterman. So it just feels nice to be back and to get back into the groove. as we embark upon the show. Now, I think it makes sense to start with the Bears, obviously, and the Texans, because that's what we saw last night. And I do want to get to the rules changes as far as the kickoff. A couple of things here. Whether or not it's good or bad, look, it's about player safety, so you can't hate on that. I will say this, and I talked to Steve Fezzik, professional bettor, earlier this morning, and he has a theory as to how pros and sharps are going to attack this new kickoff rule. And I'll just give you a little tease for the Monday program when Fezzik joins us in studio, his triumphant return. He's got it shaded 1 point for the dogs. So we'll get to that on Monday. I'll just say this. You're not going to see a lot in the preseason. The preseason has had, even in my lifetime as a bettor, quite a sea change. Obviously, you didn't see the rookie last night, Caleb Williams. You didn't see C.J. Stroud. And this has been happening and progressing for a while. Sean McVay is kind of the flag holder. He didn't start anybody last year in the preseason, and the Rams went out and made the postseason. The preseason has become so ambiguous. Now, for bettors, there's opportunities, and we'll talk to Steve and have plenty of opportunity over the next 3-4 weeks as far as the preseason to discuss ways to profit in the preseason, but it's just so different. I mean, you're not going to see Caleb Williams. I know people complain that you should be. He hasn't earned the right. There is no reason to throw somebody out there. You're not going to see C.J. Stroud. You're not going to see a lot of these starters. So you have to be very careful as far as how you attack the preseason. One, I'll give you an example. Let's talk about the line movement yesterday, both on the side and the total in the Hall of Fame game. The Bears on Monday were laying 2. Then, and this is how it's always going to be dictated, you're going to watch the quarterback rotation start to crystallize, and you're going to get an idea as to who's going to play, right? So by the time the game kicked off last night, we had gone through 0 to the Texans laying 2.5, and that's pretty easy to see why. One, you knew you weren't going to see the rookie and Caleb Williams, and then Tyson Bagent, who's going to be the second string quarterback for the Bears, and Dustin and I were talking about this yesterday, whispers that he really wasn't going to play, played a series or two, attempted 3 passes, so that meant the Brett Rypien show. Now, he showed out, but before, in pre-flop, before you're betting into this game, you're not expecting much from Brett Rypien and Austin Reed, who's a rookie. And then you look on the other side. Now, we're talking line movement here. Why did we go through 0 to the Texans closing 2.5 last night in Canton? Well, here's the reason. No Stroud, Davis Mills, established. Case Keenum, established. And Tim Boyle, established. Now, it didn't play out. Weather shortened the game. Okay, let's go to the total. Now, the total was fascinating. The total opened 33 in the Hall of Fame game, drove all the way down to 30. These preseason totals are going to be exceptionally low, and then got hit back up to 32.5. What's fascinating to me is the first half and what happened. So it was 16, and it got hit up to the key number of 17. Why is that important? The weather crystallized. And what happened? You didn't see any rain in the first half yesterday in Canton, and then the game got rained out in the second half. As game time approached, we started understanding that it's probably going to be dry in the first half. So you saw that key number in the first half for the total of 17 hit, and it cleared it easily as far as the gameplay. So that's one. You should always be analyzing these numbers before the game starts, and then the next morning or that night when you're sitting down and breaking down the numbers and the line movement, well, why? You have to apply it, okay? Now, big guy, as far as the rules changes, and the big one is the kickoff, and we had an opportunity for the first time to look at the new kickoff rules as far as the Texans and the Bears. I'll say this, seven different kicks were returned before the game's weather delay late in the third quarter, which is actually a plus considering most of those kicks would have been touchbacks a year ago. After you kind of recalibrated and looking at the screen, because it looked goofy, if you're not an XFL fan, that just looked wild. But the bottom line is this, and then I'll let you jump in about what you thought about it. So the teams are kicking off at the opponent's 35, 10 players, excuse me, at their own 35, 10 players on the kicking team starting at the opponent's 40. Okay, so we all saw the way it was lined up. At least 9 of the returning team must be set up in the zone between the 30 and the 35. So those obviously up on the kicking team. Now, here's what's important. If the ball lands in the end zone, goes through, it comes out to the 30. If the ball lands short in the landing zone and rolls through the end zone, it comes out to the 20. So really that landing zone, and I think it's probably optimal for a kicker as far as landing between, you know, 10 to the goal line, 5 to the goal line. Because remember, those kicking team players can't leave until the ball's actually made contact. So that's the part as far as limiting, you know, player injuries. There can't be this hardcore running start, and you have to wait for, obviously, the ball to bounce, and then we're off. I didn't really, again, it's going to take some time. We need a bigger data size as far as what we're going to get from this. So I didn't get a ton. And also, I just think it's common sense to understand that special teams coordinators, until the regular season starts, they've got ideas. They're just not going to share much. And that's what we saw last night, big guy.
Yeah, the two takeaways for me, you realize how fast players have been running down on kickoffs and the collisions that are happening, and you see the limited impact from this in just one game. You kind of understand, for safety reasons, why they're going to this method. The other thing was what you just touched on. The creativity is coming. At some point, these coaches are going to find holes in this system, ways to exploit the rules, live in the gray area, and do some fun, creative things. And then we can get a little bit of chaos and a little bit of fun back into the kickoffs. Dare I say 2024, make kickoffs great again?
Dare you? It's nice to be back with the big guy. It's nice to have that wintergreen Zen pack. I'm going upper tank. And when we come back, bullseye on the Texans. Let's break down their season win total. And the Bears, a lot of hype. Sharp money, we're back. It's nice to see you. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Did you know our 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide is available now? Now, this guide is sick. Seriously, this guide is your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season, including previews of all 134 teams, a preseason top 25 power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to sign up, receive both the college football and NFL betting guide. The NFL betting guide, when I was back in Michigan, people were raving about it. All right, so you're going to sign up now. You're going to get the college football betting guide, the NFL betting guide, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video exclusive data, like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl at an early bird discount price of $175. Damn. Or sign up for a monthly subscription and get your first 30 days for only $19. So you can see if you like it. You will. I promise. Don't miss out on this preseason deal. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. We got you back here, Sharp Money. It feels good to be back. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Got plenty to do. Got baseball all over the place. The Cubs cards already underway. We're going to touch on your Miami Hurricanes, the Colorado Buffaloes, and the Jets today coming up in the program. But it does feel nice as we return, because some of the familiar faces are going to return. Live from the Borgata, BetMGM, our buddy Thomas Gable makes his triumphant return to the program. Also, front of the room, Samo. Mike Somich is going to be along. He's got some stakes, races to discuss, and more. Yeah, horse racing here on Sharp Money. And why do I call Mike Somich front of the room Samo? Because we had a company meeting today, and who was the first to raise his hand? Like he's sitting in the front of the row at the class. That was Mike Somich. Listen. If we're in a meeting with bosses, this is for the rest of my colleagues, just zip it. We got to get out of there, people. That's for you too, big guy. Now, a couple of things as we come back here. The Texans last night, and we can just give you, I mean, it's a formality as they called the game. And Dustin, you were talking about the technicality as far as some books paying out and some not paying out. Again, you'll always have to look at your book's rules. With this game, weather shortened last night, Dustin, some paid, some didn't.
Yeah, and it looks like the totals were paid out differently from the sides in some regards. I know here at Circa, Jeffrey Benson had his hands full over on Twitter. Game didn't go 55 minutes. That was the key for them to pay out on those bets. So they went and refunded everything. And that seems to be the vibe in Vegas. Other places, though, it sounds like some people did get payouts on the totals and whatnot.
Okay, now the Texans, and I find this team to be fascinating, so let's dive in. First, let's set up the numbers on the Texans. It makes sense to come out of the game last night and talk Texans-Bears, as we shall. Of course, 10-7 last year, which is phenomenal because the step up was beyond any comprehension. You had a rookie quarterback, obviously a rookie coach who's a super impressive guy. Love the guy. And I don't generally believe in hiring a defensive first coach, but that dude has some swag. If you look at the AFC South, Dustin, the Texans are going to be your betting favorites at plus 105. You're higher on the division than I am. We can get into that. The conference, they are your fifth betting favorite at 8.5 to 1. Super Bowl, your eighth betting favorite for the Texans, which seems wild. If you told me 2 years ago that the Texans, 2 years later, with a rookie and a rookie, obviously would be your eighth betting favorite at 16 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, we'd say you're crazy. And now to make the postseason, big time favorite on the yes at minus 190, big guy, and no, plus 150. Their win total is set at 9.5. And if you want to go over on the Texans 9.5, you have to lay $1.40. I would say that if you're talking ahead of schedule, I would say last year they were 2 years ahead of schedule. Like nobody saw that coming. And I mentioned the rookie quarterback and coach, but with success, obviously, everyone now has the Texans firmly in their crosshairs, a full offseason, as you mentioned to me, big guy, to prepare for them. Remember, they beat the Browns in the postseason, advanced to the divisional round, and lost to the Ravens. 10 wins was a miraculous year for the Texans. It really was. Now, success has its issues as they've got the fourth hardest schedule, the Texans. Seven opponents, Dustin, who qualified for last year's postseason. So this is expectations. And just the reality of what the Texans face in 2024 is going to be much different. We'll get to the schedule coming up in just a bit. All of a sudden, they're on the radar. Six nationally televised games. And it starts with C.J. Stroud. You're in a perfect spot. You always think about Russell Wilson here, Dustin, because why? Rookie contract. Second year of a rookie deal. So what does that mean? You can start to add around C.J. Stroud while you're paying the quarterback nothing, the most important position in sports. When you think about a rookie and you think about quarterback play and just in particular, you think about continuity. And Bobby Slowick not getting a head coaching job and staying on as the OC was a big get for the Texans. The supporting cast, I think you could argue because of the addition of Stephon Diggs is better. Now, I'm not as high on Diggs as others. He's 30 years old and he did have some regression in the second half. They did switch OCs in Buffalo, but regardless of what you think of Diggs, he's been a stud, Dustin. So two other studs with Nico Collins and Tank Dell in year two for Dell. Dalton Schultz is a dependable tight end. The offense is tremendous. Joe Mixon, he comes in. Devin Singletary goes out. I call that a wash just because of Mixon's age. And Singletary with your Giants now is a very good back. As far as the offensive front, Tunsil's one of the best in football, along with Trent Williams on the blind side. And they used a second-round pick on the right tackle in Blake Fisher. Defensively, this is where I think it starts to get dicey. And I know you have a theory on this team, the Texans. Will Anderson, defensive rookie of the year. Again, this was a great defense last year. They set a franchise record, the Texans, with 46 sacks. But they returned exactly one starter across that defensive front. And that is second-year player in Will Anderson. Now, Grenard is gone, went to the Vikings, so the Texans were like, cool, we'll take Danielle Hunter. Upgrade, older, 16.5 sacks. So think about the edges here for the Texans. You've got on one side, obviously, Danielle Hunter, and on the other side, you've got Will Anderson. You expect him coming off a 7-sack campaign to get better. I think it starts to get dicey because the linebackers, the Jeff Okuda is not going to excite anybody. Derek Singletary Jr. is awesome at cornerback. But other than that, there's a lot of questions. Got a great kicker. This is where I start to question the team, and that is defensively. They've got on their schedule the NFC North. That ain't easy. They've got the AFC East. That ain't easy. They also have to deal with the Ravens and the Chiefs. That ain't easy. This is, again, 9.5 at first blush. You're going to look at it and think, this is a ridiculous number. That's 10 wins last year. This is a first-place schedule. This is a much different ballgame, Dustin Sweetelson.
Yeah, it's a frustrating team to evaluate because I think two things can be true here. We can really love the aggressiveness of the offseason, getting a premier edge rusher in Danielle Hunter, bringing in another receiver that goes into what's now a very deep core for the Texans offense. You have to like everything they did to be a better football team. The problem is the schedule and the situation, I think, in the South. First off, the schedule. Week 9, the Jets. Week 10, the Lions. Week 11, the Cowboys. Week 15, Miami, followed by Kansas City and Baltimore. That's how we're finishing the year.
That's brutal. There's
two games mixed in there against the Jags and Titans. One's at the Jags. I am a little bullish on the Jags. I think there's been a complete overreaction in this market about what the Jags are with the way things played out last year. And I think the Jags had a very good offseason that we'll get to later. But my theory when it comes to this team is a lot had to go right late in the year for them to end up making the playoffs and winning this division. Right, I think we forget that because they won a playoff game, we forget how they got in. A lot went right. Remember, Indy had a chance there late in the season. And for Houston, everything they want to do is not catching defensive coordinators by surprise on offense anymore. Like, we didn't know what Bobby Slowick would look like. We didn't know what C.J. Stroud would look like as a rookie. We didn't know defensive coordinators were on their heels against this team. And that's not the only reason why they succeeded, but these guys are mad scientists. Guys like Vic Fangio and Jim Schwartz, they're sitting there at home in their offices all offseason long going, these are their tendencies. These are what they like to do. They weren't that good on first and second down. They were good, however, on third down. Like, they're going to break this team down, and they're going to try to force them into situations they don't want to be in. The question is, how can they counter that? And then it's a bigger picture on the team as a whole, not just on the offense, but also the defense. You went from the hunter to the hunted. People are coming after you, and I think a lot of people are high on the Colts for a lot of reasons, as long as Anthony Richardson stays healthy. I mentioned the Jags that I'm high on them because I think there's an overreaction on them. It is difficult in the NFL to do something twice in a row when people know what you're going to do now.
It's funny you said the Jags, because I literally wrote down the vibes of this year's Texans are last year's Jags.
That's fair.
Coming off the AFC South title, consensus pick for the Jags to win the division again, and they don't. That has a very similar feel to this Texans team. It really does,
and
if you think about it.
Then there's a lot of sharp people who think the Colts are very much live at $3 to win the AFC South.
So you're going under 9.5?
I have to. The schedule's brutal. I have to.
I'm going plus 105 in division for the Texans. I worry about the second and third level on defense. Next, the Bears. Sharp money. Okay, sharp money right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. And, of course, VSiN.com. You can check out everything right now, including, you know, I woke up this morning and I thought to myself, you're back from vacation. What do I need? I need Lou Finocchiaro talking UFC. So I went over to VSiN.com and I got the plays for UFC this weekend. You can, too, over at VSiN.com. Okay, we got you back here on a Friday. Hope you're having a nice week, having a nice summer. Look at the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas, right over his right shoulder there, the left side of the screen on your TV, if you're watching on YouTube TV and other platforms. His girlfriends are hanging out at the bar, the bartenders at the D. Not a lot of movement in that area. Settle. Not a lot of movement in or progression in that area since I left a month ago. But hopefully we can get something cooking in the fall. Okay, we've got Thomas Gable coming up at the top of the hour. Mike Somich is going to join, one of the sharpest around. Also, we've got our buddy stopping by, Stuart Durst. Love this kid. He's in town. He's going to pop by the D studio and hang out, give you some baseball plays on the docket today. 15 games across Major League Baseball. I hope you tailed us. Nice little start. We don't want to jinx ourselves. But France up 1-0 on Argentina right now. Love to see it. We gave that out plus 105. And the big guys, you know, he's a big Germany supporter. And we've got basketball going on right now. Big guy, where do we stand?
The Germans are currently up 30-21. Ironic, I would be a German supporter when my family had to flee that country at one point.
Fair. Did you get into Simone Biles yesterday? And again, she won a million golds. She's now the GOAT when it comes to women's gymnastics. Are we sleeping on Mary Lou Retton? Ever heard of Nadia Comaneci? Anywho, you have a theory about sports in the Olympics that everything should be eliminated except gymnastics?
Well, I mean, that would be very optically appealing. No, not just that event. Track and field, I want involved. I'm fine with wrestling. I want the original. These other sports where there's professional leagues and all that, I don't want that. The whole point of the Olympics is to focus on these sports that we don't normally watch, not be lost in the mix when we're adding all these other regular events like basketball and baseball and football and hockey. I don't like any of those.
Okay, can I just say this? We're going to get into the Bears coming off their win. Now, it was shortened, but Rippon looked awesome in the game last night, and the expectations are there for the Bears this year. I will just say this quickly. The sport I've gotten into the most as far as Paris and the Olympics summer, you know, 2024, it's been beach volleyball. And there's a specific reason. Every day when I walk here in California by the beach and I walk the dog, I see two different teams training. One is Sarah Hughes and Kelly Chang. Okay. They happen to be in Paris and they're one of the best teams favored to win gold, silver, or bronze. One of the three. So they're still in the mix. They haven't lost yet. And then Chase Buttinger, you should know that name from the NBA, and Miles Evans, they all live in Hermosa here as well, and they train. So I get to watch these people train, and they're out there. Now, they lost, Buttinger and Evans lost to Spain today, big guy, but they can still advance in Paris to the quarters. I'm into the beach volleyball, and yep. I would imagine you are as well.
I wouldn't say into it. What I'd say is a bad job by you, because you could have been doing advanced scouting for us to figure out what their weaknesses were this whole time. Like, you had a month off to get us ready. You could have been out there every day just taking notes. They wouldn't know what you're doing, and then we could find a way to exploit that in the betting market. Instead, we're just finding out that you literally were watching Olympic teams every day in your backyard.
If I'm being completely honest, I spent the month driving around California looking for Zen. Other than that, let's go to the Bears. All right. So really the Bears, it comes down to do you or don't you? Do you or don't you believe in Caleb Williams? And it's fascinating for a number one overall pick, because it does feel like, and maybe people are smarting off of last year's number one overall pick. It does feel like Caleb Williams, and there's probably myriad reasons that he's divisive, if we're being fair. But it does feel like there does seem to be one side that feels as though, as a natural football player, this could be one of the most unique players we've seen at the position, as far as just instinctually, in a very long time. And that's what I had a chance to see here at USC. I just saw a dude that I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I do know that he was born to play the position. All right, so he goes number one overall. And that wasn't necessarily a given, because, of course, they had Justin Fields on the team. It's a 7-win team. It's a team that was excellent to close out the season. They end up with the glow-up, Matt Eberflus. They end up keeping the head coach, but they make a transition as far as the quarterback position and go with Caleb Williams. I think it's eventually going to pay off. Here's the question, and you can think about this. Has a rookie at the position ever had this type of talent, Dustin Sweetelson? And we can take this into the next break, so feel free to stretch out on the Bears. Whether it's DJ Moore, who they just extended, Keenan Allen, who is so slept on as far as productivity because of the injuries, Rome Odunze, who I loved, and Cole Kmet, who's a very good tight end. You know, if you think about Moore, Allen, and Odunze just in particular, if they all live up to the expectations and stay healthy, that could be the best trio in football. And that's not hyperbole. Literally, those three could be, if they live up to the expectations. Now, They had DeAndre Swift. I know you're high on Barkley. I don't necessarily understand Philadelphia. I thought Swift was very good with Philly last year. He's going to be. Johnson was good in the backfield for the Bears. Herbert was good in the backfield. But DeAndre Swift adds an element as far as catching the ball out of the backfield as well. The issue with the Bears, and we can get more into this, I think it really just comes down to a young offensive front. You know, the rookie last year, Darnell Wright, he wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He was meh, right? And so this is an offensive front last year that was not healthy, but they're very young. And I think for a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, one of the things that you're looking to is, look, we need to protect this kid. And I have some questions up front for the Bears, though they are very talented. The defense is run by Eberflus. And again, where they started to ascend last year was when they made that trade deadline deal for Montez Sweat. I love the deal. It's almost like they were looking to the future during a season where they knew they had nothing to play for in seven wins. But Sweat changes everything. He was immediately an impact as far as pressuring the quarterback, getting sacks, and he's good against the run. My issue with the Bears is they really didn't add anything else as far as the pass rush. Cornerback Jalen Johnson returns around week 7, and he was spectacular. Outside of that, they're young. Safety, they're strong. Linebackers, that's their strength. Tremaine Edmonds, maybe a little underwhelming in year one for the Bears, and TJ Edwards. I think the linebackers, outside of Sweat, the strength. Santos, one of the best kickers in football, and they're going to have a last place schedule. Okay, division is obviously tough in the North. They get the AFC South and the NFC West, which isn't easy on their schedule this year. But the weapons are elite, Dustin. Let's go through the numbers. You can start. We'll come back and we'll continue with the Bears. Win totals 8.5. If you want to go over, you got to lay a price, $1.65.
Yeah, look, okay? I think it's important when we acknowledge that no rookie quarterback's ever had the weapons day one that he's had here with Moore, Allen, and Roma Dunze. But I think it's really important to note that they're all very different receivers and what they bring to the table. And that's why I love this so much for Caleb Williams getting acclimated to the NFL. Allen is a veteran, very reliable, sure thing when he's on the field. And I don't think he'll take the punishment with the other two being factors here in the passing game. DJ Moore's a legit number one. He proved it a year ago. Kind of do everything, make plays in space, yards after a catch. He's electric. And then Roma Dunze's got that size, and he can kind of be a hybrid between both of those two. So I really love that. And I think the Swift factor is massive here for getting a rookie into the swing of the NFL speed. Having a run game will keep defenses honest against them. And because Swift is kind of a physical back, more of a bruiser than a scat back type, he can take a hit, he can take the load on. I like that for Caleb Williams, a rookie. But the O-line is a concern for me, and here's why. My big concern with Caleb Williams is his ability to make the routine third and short throw. In college, go back and watch the highlights. All of his special plays that got him drafted number one overall, he drops back, the play breaks down, the O-line is holding up, keeping him protected. Receivers then break away on alternate routes downfield, get away from defensive backs because they can only cover for so long. Those plays are not going to exist at the NFL level for him. It's not going to be there. And I'm not saying him making the intermediate throws won't eventually develop later in the year, but right away I have questions about being able to do that with the way his highlight reel plays were back at USC. That O-line is a big bugaboo for me. But then I look at this schedule, and I really don't like this, Patrick. 6 of their last 8 games are divisional games. Early on, it's a lot of those out-of-division games, but it is a brutal end of the season for them, especially when you factor in a game against the Niners in San Francisco. So I don't love the schedule. I have concerns about Caleb with those routine regular throws, and I think early on they won't be there for this team.
I have a definitive play, and it sounds like you do as well, on the Chicago Bears 2024 iteration. Also, when we come back, we'll talk about the division numbers, because they're getting a lot of respect. We'll continue with the Bears and jump into the Jets. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I do want to pass along that coming up next week, you're going to have some opportunities. We have some really cool deals, whether you're a current VSiN Pro or you're on the fence, you're thinking about becoming a VSiN Pro, we've got some specials coming up that I think are going to surprise you. So be on the lookout for that next week as we kind of turn the page here at VSiN, not only literally, but figuratively, as we look forward to the football season as well. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, doing his thing at the D. I will say you do look svelte. So the month off that you took, or you took a little bit more than a month, the time that you took off, it looks as though you kept on your diet, which is a good thing for everybody involved.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I was fairly healthy during the process, but my appearance has been an issue since I returned back from my vacation before you did. I want to point that out. The second most DM'd item to me after "Where is Patrick?" is, "Did you go to Turkey and get hair plugs? What's going on?"
I'm not going to lie. I didn't want to say anything, but I feel like you might, because you're very vain. Are you spray painting like in the top? Because you used to be straight up bald. So.
I wish it was a little thicker. But also, if I was doing any enhancements to this, don't you think I would have started the hairline like 4 inches lower than it starts right now? I feel like a normal hairline starts right around here.
Well, you look good. And Caleb Williams has a remarkable hairline. Also, did you see the video? So they were doing like kind of introducing the rookies at the Bears camp right before it opened. And Caleb Williams stood up. And one of the things you do is you stand up, you say who you are, what university you represent, and what your signing bonus was. That's what football players care about, because that's the first guaranteed money they're going to get. What's my signing bonus? My man, first overall pick, USC, Oklahoma. And then he said his signing bonus was $25.5 million. The room just absolutely imploded. Tyson Bagent, who is a guy that was undrafted, he was doing like this shaky, like he was tripping out, because that's just unconscionable money, but it's deserved where he's slotted. Remember, you know, this ain't the Sam Bradford days when it was just YOLO, go ahead and your agent, your number one overall pick, there's no slotting. So the money used to be insane, but still to get 25.5 on a signing bonus, that's nothing to sneeze about. And Caleb Williams, he is the future for this team. And there's a lot of expectations. I mean, you think about a team that's coming off 7 wins. There were questions about Fields and Eberflus. They answered both of them, Dustin. Eberflus stays. And you and I kind of joked about Eberflus, that he had a glow up. It was the Kelly Hartung interview late in the season where he was thrown a curveball.
I remember.
And he just found himself.
She asked about the second half. He said, "We have some tricks up our sleeves," and smiled, and then went into the locker room.
He did. Yeah, exactly right. It was the first time Eberflus looked like he had become the person, like, hey, I'm being authentic.
Yeah.
And then since then, he started doing his hair. He started having a little swag. He got his job back because there were a lot of rumors that Pace was going to move on, and they kept him. And then the next big decision was what they were going to do with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is hanging out with Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. Good luck with that. So then they go Caleb Williams 1 overall. And with the talent we talked about, and you can go beyond the 100 years of the NFL, find a trio that Williams is going to be working with. I thought Dustin laid it out perfectly. My issue, that improvisation that he is so just miraculous at, my issue is this is a young offensive front that was injured last year with a lot of questions. So that's an issue. Now they're going to be able to run the ball, which they were last year. And in the second half, the defense was tremendous. But the respect in the market for the Bears is wild. And I understand it's the biggest, you know, it's the third biggest market in America. And shout to Brian Musburger, Michelle Musburger, Bill AD. They're all Bears fans. Shout to Brent Musburger. But we need to pump the brakes just a little bit. Because as I give you these numbers, I want you to think about this. 8.5 on the win total. Do what you want with that. It's not an easy schedule. It's not an easy division. But let's go in division. So there's no surprise. I just came back from Michigan. Everybody's drinking the Honolulu blue and silver Kool-Aid. The idea that the Lions won't win a Super Bowl is beyond comprehension. Like, they've won the Super Bowl. Dan Campbell is Vince Lombardi. So the Lions are plus 135 in division. All right. You can't really, maybe the best offense in football, a team that made the postseason last year, NFC Championship game, plus 135. It feels like fair pricing. The Packers are plus 225. Jordan Love extends, great season last year. I don't really have an issue with that. But if I told you the Packers are plus 225 and the Bears, with a rookie quarterback coming off 7 wins, are 50 cents difference, plus 275, that number's drunk. That number is ridiculous. And then you keep going. Conference, 15-1. Championship, 35-1. And here's the one that shocked me. To make the postseason, yes, minus 115. No, minus 105. What is happening? No, you tell me. That's not even rhetorical. What is happening?
I think the Caleb Williams factor, the upside, the potential, the excitement, the weapons, everyone's getting lost in the sauce here. I think we're forgetting how difficult it is. He was going up against some horrible Pac-12 defenses, right? Like, it's not like he was going up against SEC defenses every single week, and I'm not taking anything away from him. We both agree he's a special talent at the position. He's someone long-term we project to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. But you have to be fair about the leap he's about to make, especially going from warm weather Los Angeles to playing in the winter in the NFC North. Going to Green Bay when you can't feel any part of your body, that's going to play a role here. There's got to be a period where we understand that this young quarterback has to get used to the NFL game, the NFL speed, just the wear and tear of playing in this league. I think that's not being factored in. Everyone just expects him to hit the ground running. I mean, we now think of Bryce Young, who was the number one pick before. We go, you know what, not very good, all of that. But let's not remember, he was being hyped up as well. He's as accurate as any quarterback we've ever seen. He's accomplished in the SEC.
Hold on now. Caleb Williams is not Bryce Young.
But my point is when Bryce Young came out, people expected him to hit the ground running. Expect these quarterbacks to show up and show out, and it's just a much harder game.
I don't disagree, and I think these numbers are ridiculous. What we do is we always, and this has nothing to do with Visa, has nothing to do with anybody analyzing football. You start at the quarterback position. But what's sexy is then the specials, right? You look at the weapons. And if you go more Allen, Odunze, and Kmet, and you add DeAndre Swift or Herbert and Johnson, all of a sudden you're like, this team's lit. But then you dig a little bit deeper, and specifically trenches, I don't see a ton for the Bears on either side of the football, both defensively and offensively up front. And to get to 9 wins, leave that alone. But look at the make the playoffs, minus 115, yes? That's a ridiculous number.
No, it's
in division, plus 275, that's a drunk number.
That's preposterous. If they make the playoffs, it's because they got off to the hottest start ever. Because down the stretch, it's virtually impossible, as I mentioned before. 6 of 8 versus the North, I don't like that for them. San Francisco late in the year on the road, don't like that for them. There are some challenging games on this schedule, right? I just think we're projecting too much on the potential that Caleb Williams can reach, and I do think it's going to take a bit. And I think C.J. Stroud's playing a role in this. I think C.J. Stroud hitting the ground running the way he did is making us assume that the special quarterback in each draft is going to be able to do that, and I just don't think it's that easy. A quick note here, though. Last night, Tyson Bagent was not used very often. I kind of saw that coming. That was my vibe. Because they didn't go out and get additional backup help, they locked Bagent into that number two spot, and they're trying to find out what Brett Rippon is to be the three. Bagent only 3 pass attempts. I went through and looked at some of the backup quarterbacks, and maybe we can project this for future preseason games. I have 4 teams that I don't know how much they're going to play their right now number two quarterback, because these teams expect to win, and they can't afford to lose a number two that also is good enough to win ball games and get them to the playoffs. These coaches can't afford to lose their jobs by missing playoffs in years just because a quarterback goes down. So for starters, the Jets. Tyrod Taylor's the number two quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they risk him in the preseason. I don't think Cincinnati risks Jake Browning in the preseason. They found out what he could be a year ago. Cleveland has Jameis Winston. We saw what they did with Joe Flacco last season. Deshaun Watson, we don't know his health. And then Indianapolis, Flacco made the playoffs with Cleveland. He's now backing up Anthony Richardson. He's older. Don't expect to see him much in the preseason as well. Use that towards your handicaps.
No, it's great information. And the Bajent news yesterday was the reason why we had such an extreme move on the side. However, the weapons are elite. Not going to pretend like they're not. I would just say, can the young offensive line that was injured last year get better and protect the rookie? And can they get any pressure outside of Montez Sweat, because they added nothing? Linebacker's good, but if you can't get a pass rush, what's the use with a young defensive backfield as well? I'm under. Down on the Bears. Under. We're back with Thomas Gable.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network. We are a network of sports betting analysts, writers, hosts, and handicappers here to make you a more confident bettor. We broadcast live from Las Vegas, the sports betting capital of the world, every day to provide you with sports betting insight and analysis you can't find anywhere else. Our shows can be heard live on streaming platforms and radio stations all across the country. VSiN.com has the latest in sports betting news, betting splits, analysis, and picks. We have over a dozen daily and weekly podcasts to help you as a sports bettor. If you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll have access to our 24/7 video stream, betting guides ahead of every season and major event, picks sent to your inbox every morning, and so much more. To learn more, head to VSiN.com and see all that VSiN has to offer. That's VSIN.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.